Thank you, Pastor.
Okay, my pleasure. Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. Is this on? In light of the fact that we're presently in the midst of the period of Avelis, the 3 weeks between Shavuos Betamuz and Tisha B'Av, and about actually to transition this evening to the 9 days. Tonight is the Rosh Chodesh of tonight and tomorrow. So I thought it would be appropriate to speak a little bit about Yerushalayim. This is a time of mourning for Yerushalayim. I'm trying to understand what exactly is it that's so special or so unique or so important about Yerushalayim and our traditions. I'd like to begin, as I generally like to, by exploring a halachic question first and using that as a springboard to get into a little bit of an understanding about the uniqueness of Yerushalayim. The Gemara says, people have the source papers? Okay. I don't want to be intimidated. We're not necessarily going to go through everything here, but it might be helpful if you have a copy of it. And if not, it's also okay. The Gemara has in Maseches Moedkot in the following discussion on Daf Chof Vav Mud Aleph. That's the first source on the sheets. The Gemara there in the third parak of Moedkot is discussing the laws of Avelus in general, the laws of mourning. We know that as a prelude to the actual period of mourning, God forbid, when a person loses a relative, so you have to tear kriya, you have to rent the garment, you have to tear your shirt, the jacket, and that's part of the process. Not technically a din in mourning per se, it's a separate din, the Gemara says. Kriya and Avelus are not exactly the same din, but for our purposes we'll link them together, and in the discussion about kriya in general, upon the death of a relative, so the Gemara mentioned there are other occasions where it's also appropriate, it's proper to tear kriya as a sign of mourning. So the Gemara says in the first source, Amar b'chelba, Amar ula b'ra, Amar b'lazer, Haroa ara Yehuda b'chorbanon. If somebody comes and sees the cities of Yehuda, the cities of Judea, the Judean hills, you know, the cities around Yerushalayim, you come and you see them in the state of destruction, Omer, you're supposed to say a certain pasuk, a pasuk in Yeshaya, Ari kotcher ayu midbar, you say a reference, a quotation or a pasuk, v'kore, you tear kriya as a sign of mourning, that this was once the place where, you know, Jews came, you know, on their way to Yerushalayim and so on. Now you see these cities, unfortunately, are not in the same state anymore, so it's a communal kind of mourning, you tear kriya. Continues the Gemara, Yerushalayim b'churban, then you come to Yerushalayim, and you see Yerushalayim in a state of destruction. Again, so you say a different pasuk, Omer Tzion Mibra Haysu Yerushalayim Shemama v'Kareya. You say another different pasuk, and again, you tear your garments, a sign of mourning. And Beis HaMikdash b'churbano, then when you come to the place, you see the place where the Beis HaMikdash once stood. And you see that the Beis HaMikdash is not there anymore, and obviously we know that there's a mosque there now. So you say a different pasuk, Omer, Beis Kodshenem Sivarteno Sheheluch Avoseno Hoyle Srefas Eish V'chol Machmane Hoyle Charova v'Kareya. Again, you say a different pasuk, you tear kriya. So the Gemara is teaching us that just as, God forbid, when a person loses one of the immediate family members, God forbid, who passes away, one of the seven immediate relatives, father, mother, sister, brother, son, daughter, or spouse, you have to tear kriya, you have to tear your garments. So too, when coming to Ore Yehuda, and coming to Yerushalayim, and coming to the Makom HaMikdash, you also have to tear kriya. That's the halacha. Then the Gemara goes on to say, exactly where do you tear kriya? It mentions Tzofim. Mount Scopus, Harat Sofim, right outside the city of Yerushalayim today. If you come from that direction, there's some discussion. We don't have to go through it right now. Rashi explains, the Gemara says, it depends which way you came in and how you came in. It's possible to come in and see the Makom HaMikdash first, right, depending on which how you entered. You know, usually today when you come from Tel Aviv, you come from the airport, so you come into Yerushalayim, you come first to the city, and then you come into the old city, and you come to the coastal Amaravi, you see the Makom HaMikdash. There's ways to come in other directions. We need to go into those details now, but this is the halacha, and there's a special din to tear for Yerushalayim. That's really the point I want to get to now. It's not just that you tear when you see the Beis HaMikdash no longer present, but even Yerushalayim itself. Even if you don't see the Beis HaMikdash just yet, or the place where the Beis HaMikdash was, you still have to tear kriya. This is a halacha. It remains in effect today. The Rambam tells us in the third source, Hilchos Tainis Perek Halacha Tezayim, he summarized these dinim. Misha Ra Arihud B'Chuban, he says the same thing as the Gemara. It's interesting. It says, Ra Yerushalayim B'Chubana Omer Yerushalayim Midver Gomer, doesn't say tear. Medayik in the Rambam, you look carefully in the Rambam, the Rambam doesn't say, he says to tear by Ore Yehuda, he says to tear by the Beis HaMikdash, doesn't say to tear in Yerushalayim. So some of the Achonim wonder about that. The Raga Chavagor, which is not on the sheets, and the Tzofnas Paneach, and the Rambam has a whole explanation, but Rav Kafach, the great Yemenite Talmud Chacham, passed away a few years ago, who investigated a lot of old manuscripts, and he found that most of the manuscripts, it does say Korea in the Rambam. If Kama will lumped us why it didn't say Korea for Yerushalayim, the old manuscripts do say. Anyway, I point that the Rambam brings this lehalacha. Now it's interesting, the Magid Mishnah raises the question in the name of the Ramban in the fourth source. The Magid Mishnah wonders, once you have to tear for Ara Yehuda, once you have to tear for, so what do you got to, you know, why do you have to say you have to tear for Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim is one of the Ara Yehuda. Ara Yehuda means, right, Yerushalayim is one of the cities. So Lechora, once you tear for, when you come into the area in general, you're coming up, again, picturing going, we've all been going from Tel Aviv, from the airport to Yerushalayim, going up those hills, you know, that last series of hills coming into Yerushalayim. And you see all those cities, so you did it, you tear Kriya. Why did you tear separately for Yerushalayim? And the Ramban explains, as the Magid Mishnah quotes him in the fourth source, he says, no, you see, if I, once I tear for the Ara Yehuda, I don't have to tear for every little village that you pass by. One is good enough, but Yerushalayim has a separate status. That's the point. Yerushalayim Kari Achrav Na'atzmo. Okay, Yerushalayim has its own status. And that's really one thing we see from the halachic point of view, is that Yerushalayim, it's not, you're tearing for the Beis HaMikdash, you're not tearing for Ara Yehuda, you're tearing for Yerushalayim per se. That's what I wanted to bring out from this discussion. I printed in source 5 the whole, the very last simon in Hilchos Tisha B'Av is Aruch Chaim Simon Tav Kuf Samach Aleph. That's the last simon in Hilchos Tisha B'Av. So there you have 5 sifim, which I presented here just to show you that this is the din. This applies today. A lot of people don't know, but it applies today. If you go to Eretz Yisrael today, in, you know, 2012, you go to Eretz Yisrael and you come to Shalayim, so you have to tear, come to the base, you have to tear Kriya. Is that true? It says in the Shulchan Aruch it's true. Does everybody do that? Do we tear when we come to Ara Yehuda? Do we tear when we come to Yerushalayim? I think most people tear when you come to the coast of Amaravi. When you see the Temple Mount and so on and so forth, a lot of people tear when you walk, if you walk down the steps, you know, from the Rova, right, before you make that final left to go down the last of the steps, you're overlooking the plaza, the coastal plaza, and you see the, no, that's where most people tear. That we do. What about all these other things? It says in the Shulchan Aruch to tear. It's not just the Rambam, it's not just the Gemara. The Shulchan Aruch also says, you can read it yourself there in the fifth source, Ara Yehuda and Sif Alam Yerushalayim, and so on, and you have to tear it standing up, and you say these certain psukim, and so on. And it mentions the very end in Sif Hey, I just pointed out for your edification, the very last thing in source number 5, it says, if you come within 30 days of having last turn, you have to tear again. You always have to, it's only if you haven't been there in more than 30 days. Let's say a person every morning goes to daven by the coast, have to tear a shirt every day. You know, you run out of shirts after a while. It's not required, right? It's only required if it's after 30 days. Okay, so it's interesting, the language used in the Gemara and the language used in the Rambam, the language used in the Shulchan Aruch is, when you see Ara Yehuda b'churbanon, in a state of destruction. What exactly does that mean, in a state of destruction? So the Magen Avraham comments in the bottom in source number 6, and the Mishnah in source 7 quotes the Magen Avraham. He said, b'churbanon, he says, afal pi sheyoshun b'hen Yisrael, even though there might be Jews living there, the Jewish communities, kevon sheumos moshim aleihem mikri churban, because other nationalities, other lands, other peoples are ruling over them from a political sovereignty point of view, that's called in a state of destruction. And Mishnah Berurah is more specific in the top of the next page in source 7. He says, "B'chorban afilu Yosher Yisrael." He says, "Kevin Shayishma'elim." He was talking about the Arabs. Mishnah Berurah wrote this in the late 1800s, early 1900s. The Yishma'elim, that's the Arabs, since they're ruling over these cities, they have sovereignty over these cities. So then it's called b'chorbanim. Because of that, it's very important to note that the contemporary poskim assume that that's why we don't tear Kriya today for Ara Yehuda. Why? Because it's under Jewish sovereignty now. It's under Israeli, whether we like the government, we don't like the government, but it's a Jewish government. I'm not talking about politics now, but it's under Jewish auspices. So that's why it's correct. When we go from the airport to Yerushalayim, we don't tear Kriya upon seeing the Ara Yehuda, because they're not considered to be b'churbanon anymore. They're not in a state of destruction. They're under Jewish sovereignty. And therefore, it's not. Yeah. Yes, that's a whole question. What about if right? What about the area under Palestinian Authority today? Let's say. So that would be, so some would say, Utaka have to tear. And if they would give that area away, so then it would be, it have to tear. But Rav Zevin, it's interesting. Rav Zevin, yeah, I'm sorry.
No, but you also say that the Palestinian Authority there needs to be the right to be there.
Exactly. So the Israeli army can still go in. Yeah, that's how they answer today. That even though the Palestinian Authority, since the army still has. Right, whatever, that's an interesting question. But Lamaisa, based on this Magen Avraham, this Mishnah Berurah, the general assumptions of today, and Rav Zevin writes this in one of his Svarim Odin Bahalocha, he writes that now that we have Jewish sovereignty over this area, and he writes in parentheses, Ashrei Shezochinu Lecha, we are fortunate to have merited this, And that addendum did not appear in the English translation of Rav Zevin's work. A whole Taina Art School published a translation of the Festival of Halacha, and they left out that remark, Ashrei Shezachinu L'chach. So someone told me afterwards that years later, Rabbi Sherman, who was one of the heads of Art School, said that they acknowledged that they made a mistake. It was not right, because apparently some Hebrew editions also been excised out. Okay, that's censorship. But anyway, we believe Ashrei Shezachinu L'chach. We're fortunate that we have Jewish sovereignty, so we don't have to tear anymore. Okay, now the Beis HaMikdash, you're certain that there's no Beis HaMikdash. There's no doubt that when you see the, you know, the Makom HaMikdash, you have to tear Kriya. What about Yerushalayim? It is under Jewish sovereignty. Well, what's the status of Yerushalayim? Do you have to tear? Does Yerushalayim follow the din of, like, Ori Yehuda? Since it's under Jewish sovereignty, so that doesn't apply anymore today. What do we say? No, Yerushalayim is tearing because of its connection to the Beis HaMikdash. There's no Beis HaMikdash today, so she still should tear for Yerushalayim. So that's a machlokas, actually. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about, I printed in source number 8, Yigus Moshe Orachaim Chelek Hei Simon Lamed Zayin. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked this question, and he says, Shinkein Ato Shebechaste Hashem Yisbara Ein Moshe Ma'umos Al Ore Yehuda Al Yerushalayim. He seems to lump it with the Ore Yehuda. Rav Moshe writes that since today, the Chaste Hashem, that we have no foreigners running, ruling Ariyud Yerushalayim, Ve'im Gam Yerushalayim, and they're populated, plenty of Jews and so on, who Tam Godol Shalol Ikroa. That's a major reason we don't tear Kriya. We still have to tear Kriya for the Makom HaMikdash, because there's no Mikdash. That's no argument. Okay? I mean, I don't say no argument. There are some who say that even that, since it's under Jewish sovereignty, but I think that's a minority view. The majority view is, regarding the Makom HaMikdash, you have to tear Kriya. But for Yerushalayim, Rav Moshe writes that since it's under Jewish sovereignty and it's populated and so on, and it's true, he says, Afsha Adayin Lo Bo HaGedul Yedei Melech HaMashiach, it's true, the full Geula hasn't arrived, the full redemption in the Messianic era, and we're still afraid from other nations, so still Ein Likro. He says, he paskins not to tear. What? Right, so that's on the Harabai. So you have to tear for the Harabai, for sure. But what about Yerushalayim itself? So Moshe seems to suggest you don't have to tear Kriya for Yerushalayim, because, again, it's under Jewish sovereignty, and it's not yet the full Geula, but it's a good thing. So anyway, that's what Moshe writes, and we hope, he says in the future, that the Mashiach will come and everything else, and he'll answer the Shaila for us. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Arbach, and Olav Rochem, in the ninth source, in the Minchas Shlomo, mentioned what you mentioned. He's not so convinced. He writes, quotes the Suffolk, the doubt, whether today the Shiltun Yerushalayim, who be Day Yisrael, in Yeshiv Likorla, is that the issue? Is it, you know, Jewish sovereignty or not? Is that the main issue? And he writes, like you were saying, Choshvani, I think, in the second or last line of source 9, the Chol Zman Sheroim Adayin Be'ira Kodesh Amitosh, Knesio Shel Nochrim, since we still see in the whole Yerushalayim churches and mosques and other, you know, religions and so on prominent, we can't do all this. A dying Hebrew churbana, Yerushalayim is still considered to be in a state of churban, and therefore Rav Shlomo Zalman seems to suggest that we should tear Kriya. So that's a machlokas, whether we do or not. How exactly we paskim?
But so what's the source for churbana to explain that as motion? They all
assume that it has to do with Jewish. Yeah, so because korban doesn't mean necessarily only physical destruction; it means political destruction, right? I mean, Right, but again, as far as we're concerned, if these are our holy cities and we're not there, you know, they're Ramban.
Not a complete rebuilding.
Right. As a matter of fact, just as an aside, I don't want to get into it now, but you know, there are many who argue, and I myself subscribe to that position, that if the Magen Avraham and everyone defines Churban as destruction, political destruction, then you can, the reverse, the fact that it's not just that it's not for Churban, it's already Geula. You know, the idea of celebrating, let's say, Yom HaAtzmaut, that whole issue, it could very well tie into this question, and understanding that we've seen the reversal of Churban, not the complete reversal, but a step towards, so that's an important issue. But, yeah.
Right.
He said not to change it, right. Right, in some place they want to change the text of the extra tefillah on Tisha B'Av in the Mincha.
Right.
So the Rav, so that segues in the next thing of Soloveitchik. I'll get to how we pass in a second. Rav Soloveitchik suggests that Rav Shechter writes this particular thing up in the Sefer Bikvei Atzon, Simen Yud Ches, in Os Yud. He says Rav Soloveitchik assumed it's got nothing, Yerushalayim is not the issue of Jewish sovereignty, not Jewish sovereignty. That's not the Yerushalayim problem. And he demonstrated the Yerushalayim is an overflow of the Mikdash. And he pointed to the Mishnayos in Maseches Kelim, which I printed in 10 source. Again, you're welcome to keep these sheets afterwards if you want to refer to them. The Mishnah in Kelim, the first parak, says, Eser Kedusha saying, there are 10 levels of Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, we start with Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael itself has a greater sanctity, a greater Kedusha than the rest of the lands. Then within Eretz Yisrael, there's holier. And then they go in Yerushalayim, and it's even more holy. They go to the next place, right? It goes all the way to come to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Right? So that's what these Mishnayos outline over here. And it says with regards to which dinim. So it's interesting, the Rav pointed out, others point this out also. You look at the first Mishnah, Mishnah Vav, in Source 10, Kalim Parakalim Mishnah Vav. Eser Kedushain Eretz Yisrael Mikudesh Mikol Aratzos Umahi Kedusha. So what do you mean it's sanctified? What does it mean? The land has Kedusha. What does that mean, land has Kedusha? You know, we throw around the term Kedusha. What is a prag? What has a glow to it? Has halos? What does it mean? What? So he says, no, the Mishnah says, Shemeviyim Menor HaOmer Vabikur Mushtei Lechem Mashayim Meviyim Kemi Kol Aratzos. You can bring for the carbon omer can be grass to be grain from Eretz Yisrael. Bikurim are fruits from Eretz Yisrael. There's specific dinim that relate to Eretz Yisrael only that prove or that teach us that this land has sanctity above and beyond other lands. So some raise the question on that mission, what do you mean? Why didn't they mention Shemitah and Truma and other things? So the Rav pointed out the mission mentions things that relate to the Beis HaMikdash. Truma, Shemitah, that's not a din of the Beis HaMikdash. It's a din of Kedusha, Eretz Yisrael, it's true. But this mission, when it talks about the levels of Kedusha, have to do with things that relate to Karbonos, Omer, Bikurim, Shtei Lechem, things that relate to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, and the Rambam brings all this to halacha in the 11th source. The Rambam Hilchos Beis Halachir Paragzana Halachir Beis Kol Eretz Yisrael Mekudesh Kol Aratos Umay Kedushasa Shemivin Amen Omer Shtei Lechem and so on. And then in Halacha Yudalit, based on the subsequent Mishnayos there, the Rambam Yushalayim Mekudesh is Mishara Eretz Mekafas Chom. Yushalayim is a different level of Kedusha. So the Rambam put all this together and said, no, when we speak about the Kedusha of Yushalayim, the Kedusha of Yushalayim is a function of its relationship to the Mikdash. And therefore, the Rav said, in terms of Kriya and Yerushalayim, it has nothing to do with whether it's Jewish sovereignty, not Jewish sovereignty, that's not the issue. Buildings, not buildings, political destruction, it has to do with the Mikdash. And therefore, the Rav thought, I'll be pashas, you should probably have to tear Kriya for Yerushalayim even today, because Yerushalayim is an overflow of the Beis HaMikdash. Memela, you should have to tear. However, the halach is not that way, and the Rav didn't do it either. Why? Because whenever there's a machlok, as I print on the next page, the Gemara says in Erev and Daf Mem Vav Aleph, it's also another place in Mordechai, it says, Damar Shmuel halachot kedibra mekel ba'ovel. We have a rule, a principle in the laws of Avelas that we can take the lenient view. Okay, and for this purpose, Kriya is considered a din in Avelas. So since there's a machlokah, should you tear Kriya, should you not tear Kriya? So we'll follow the lenient view, we don't tear Kriya. And that's the contemporary practice. We don't tear Kriya. We don't tear Kriya on Ari Yehuda, we said before, because it's under Jewish sovereignty. And even Yerushalayim, which the Rav proved, or he felt, Shlomo Zalman felt for a different reason, you should tear Kriya. But Lamaisa, we don't, since there is another view, Halacha Kedivei Mekel Ba'ovel. Not only that, but the Mishnah Tshuva points out, because the funny thing, you know, another reason to be makel, so to speak, and not tear kriya, because in general you're not allowed to tear garments. That's called bal tashchis. Bal tashchis. That's a din in the Torah. You're not allowed to destroy something for no reason. So when you have to tear kriya because God forbid a relative dies, that's not for no reason. That's for a good reason. But here you have a suffix: shai tear kriya, shai not tear kriya. But being machmir, quote unquote, on tearing kriya, which means I'm going to be makel on the din of bal tashchis. So that's how the Pesachei Tshuva says: whenever there is a suffix regarding I print in source 13, it's in Simon Shin Mem of Yerodeah, Sif Cotton Aleph. He writes, you can't tear more than necessary, otherwise you violate Baal Tashchis, Samamela. That's how I think most posts can assume today. We don't tear for Yerushalayim because of this doubt, and A, halach gedir mekel ba'ovel, you're lenient in Avelis laws, and B, you don't want to run into a possible problem with Baal Tashchis. Fine. Okay, having said all of this, though, I'd like to suggest a different direction that gives us, I'd start with a halachic point. So this is a halachic discussion. Halacha lemaisa, I think the more prevalent practice today is nobody tears Ori Yehuda, nobody tears Yerushalayim. We tear only when we come to the Kosel, to the Makom HaMikdash, and we see that's our practice. But what we've seen from the point of view of Ashkof a little bit is that Yerushalayim does have a special status. After the Rav said that it's a status of the Mikdash, I would like to take it in a different direction, based on what the Rav said a different on a different occasion. about the uniqueness or the specialness of Yerushalayim, then really try to understand what Yerushalayim really means to us, which, as I said at the outset, is something we really need to consider this time of year as we mourn for Yerushalayim, you know, come leading up to Tisha, the 9 days we start tonight, and Tisha B'Av. A different aspect of Yerushalayim. You know, if you take a look in source number 14, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, talks about the mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash. It says, mitzvahs asei lios bayis l'Hashem, muchon lios makrivim bo karbonos. There's a mitzvah asei to build a house for Hashem, in which to bring the karbonos, v'chogigin elov shalosh prim bashana, you gotta go 3 times a year, right, on the shalosh regalim. And what pasuk does the Rambam bring? Shenemar, v'osuli mikdash. That's a pasuk chumash, parashat Truma. It says, v'osuli mikdash, v'shochan ti v'sochan. Ukvar niskar misparik b'Torah Mishkan shasa Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, the Torah describes that even in the Midbar they had a mikdash. We called it the Mishkan. Mishkan was a portable mikdash. Right, so that's a pasuk chumash a mitzvah saseh. It's one of the 613 mitzvahs to build the mikdash. Shenemar v'osuli mikdash. That was only a temporary structure. Eventually they built a permanent structure. So if you, based on this Rambam, what is the source for building Beis HaMikdash? Also the Mikdash, Pasen Chomesh. Now, Hilchos Melachim, look at source 15. Perek Aleph, Hilchos Melachim, Melach Aleph. Shalosh mitzvos nitzdav yisrael b'shas k'nisos on Eretz. There were 3 mitzvahs that the Jewish people had to do some shortly after entering Eretz Yisrael. One was limnos lem melech, to have a king. Good. Shenemar somtum adach melech. You have to obliterate Amalek. And then leave those Beis HaBechira. Then to build the Beis HaBechira, the Beis HaMikdash. Shenemar. And guess what? The Rambam quotes a different pasuk. L'shichno sidrushu v'asa shama. Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. So the Lechem Mishnah, the next source, another to bother. Wait a minute. In Hilchos Beis HaBechira, the Rambam said that the source for the mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash is the pasuk v'asuli mikdash. In Hilchos Melachim, he says the source is L'shich no Sidrushu, means find the place for the Shechina, go and establish a place for the Shechina. Now they both find Psukim, but which is it? Right? The two different places, the Rambam has 2 different sources as to what the Makor, 2 different ideas as to what the Makor, what the source is for the Mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash. Interesting things. The Lechem Mishnah, which we're not going to read inside, take a look in source 16, and it tries to figure out an answer. Well, 2 different things, because one referred to the Mishkan, and, you know, as you may know, when they came into Eretz Yisrael, they didn't have the Beis HaMikdash for several centuries. So the Mishkan was in different places. It was in Shiloh, it was in Gilgal, it was in Nob, it was in different places. So, different psukim, that's how Lechem Mishnah says. But Rav Soloveitchik, in a different venue, a different occasion, had a different approach to this. And it'll give us again some insight into Yerushalayim, the specialness of Yerushalayim. Will at least lead us another step in that direction. There's a sefer they printed a number of years ago, Chidush HaGram VaHagrid, which was Professor Chaim Soloveitchik, or Chaim Soloveitchik, the Rav's son, had notebooks from his father, the Rav, who had learned with his father, Moshe Soloveitchik, and they learned the Chavrusa, and they wrote things down. It's called Chidush HaGram VaHagrid, because he writes an introduction, it wasn't clear who said what. They learned b'chavrusa, and the Rav kept notes. It wasn't clear what was his father's pshat, what was his pshat, right? And since they call Hagram Bagrid, between the two of them, this is what came out. So in the Chidush Hagram Bagrid, he mentions the following. This is in an essay on the section on Hilchos Beis HaBechira on the Rambam. So he notes the following. If you take a look in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, source number 17, the Gemara, that's the Chaf Med Beis. That's the source for that Rambam, the second Rambam, Hilchos Melachim. Right? Tani B'Yosi Omer, Sholosh Mitzvos Nistav Yisrael B'Chinisos L'Oretz. The 3 mitzvahs. What were they again? To appoint a king, to eradicate Amalek, and to build a Beis HaMikdash. That's, as you know, historically, once Shaul HaMelech became the king, one of his first missions was, now go destroy Amalek. Unfortunately, he didn't carry out the mission fully. We know that's Haftarah from Parshas Zohar. Shabbos Parshas Zohar, they kept the animals, they let Agag stay alive, and so on. The Shaul made that mistake. But, you know, once he became the king, his first, because that's what the Gemara says, first you make a king, and after you have a king, you wipe out Amalek. So sadly, Shaul made that mistake, and he lost the kingship because of it. Okay. But anyway, it's clear from that Gemara, the Rav demonstrated, many point out, that it's not just those mitzvahs, the order, the Seder is Ma'akeh. You have to do it in that order. First the king, then get rid of Amalek, then you build the Beis HaMikdash. Not in the reverse order. You have to do it in that order. That's what comes out from that Gemara. in Sanhedrin Daf Chaf Amud Beis. Now the Rav asked, "Wait, yeah."
That's the case. They never eradicated
the problem. So that is a technical problem. That's a problem. Okay, at least they eliminated him from that area. It was a good point. Okay, it was only once David had conquered all that had to be conquered, then he built the Beis HaMikdash. That's the question. Does it mean eradicate entirely, at least remove them from that area? But there's a different question. What do you mean you have to... the Rabbi asked a different question. What do you mean you have to first make a king, then eradicate Amalek, then build the Beis HaMikdash? Moshe built the Mishkan. They had a Mishkan before any of these things happened. The Mishkan was in the Midbar yet, then it was in Gilgal. It was here. So what do you mean the order makes a difference? What order? They had a Mikdash. Right, so I don't understand. I hope it doesn't make sense. You understand the question? In other words, they had a Mishkan already. The Rambam said also in Mikdash, they built a Mishkan in the desert, in the Midbar, long before they had a king. Over there, and hundreds of years in Eretz Yisrael, Shlomo Melech didn't come to hundreds of years. Yeah.
You could suggest that the Mishkan is a mitzvah l'shah, and l'shah the conditions required something.
So the Rav, very good. So just sharpening just a little bit, the Rav suggested the following. The Rav said there's two, surprisingly for those who know the Brisker Derech, Tzvei Dinim, two aspects. There is a din called building the Beis HaMikdash, yes. But there is also something called the Beis HaBechira, a place that was chosen and selected. And you can have one, so to speak, without the other. I'm briefly saying a much longer idea. But the idea of having a Mikdash, a place to bring Karbanos, yeah, that they had in the Midbar. You know, not just as Zorah, and then the Midbar and Shiloh and all these other places. But that wasn't the Beis HaMechira. On top of that, there was an idea of a specially designated place that would, and it's a halachic difference, it would retain its Kedusha, that place, for all time. The Mishkan was in different places, right? Do we know where the Mishkan was? Do we care where the Mishkan was? Not really. It was somewhere in the Midbar, right? Does Shiloh and Gilgal, do these places have Kedusha still today? No, but Yerushalayim still does. Because there was something called the Bechira, the Beis HaMechira. And there are halachic differences, just to point a couple quickly. In source 18, the Ram Hilchos Beis Bechir, Parak Alav Alav Gimel, once the Beis HaMikdash was built, Nesru Kala Mekomos, it now became usher to build anything anywhere else, in any other place, to bring Karbonis anywhere else, in Dori Doris, only Yerushalayim, only in Har Maria. Okay, that's what the Ram says, Beis Bechir, Parak Alav Alav Gimel. Once Yerushalayim, the Mikdash built in Yerushalayim, that's it. And the Gemara in Zvachim, Daf Kuf Yud Beis, really a Mishnah. Kuf Yud Beis and Beis in Zvachim, the Mishnah starts on the previous page, but I printed in Source 19. So many of you know that even while other places existed, you could build what's called a bama, an offer personal karbanos in your own backyard. But once the Beis HaMikdash was built, that's it. It's over. And furthermore, the Rambam says in Beis HaBechilos, Beis HaBechilos, Beis HaBechilos, Beis HaBechilos, the Rambam says that Yerushalayim took on a new status. That there were three camps in the Midbar, what's called Machane Yisrael, Machane Levia, and Machane Kahuna, and also the same din with regards to Yerushalayim. What comes out from all of this, and I am oversimplifying, there's a lot more to say, and the Rav does say a lot more, but basically there was a status change. That Yerushalayim became a chosen city, a chosen place, and it had halachic nafkaminis. You could eat meat from certain karbonos within Yerushalayim called kachim kalim and maaseh sheni and other things. That is a function, so to speak, of it having been a chosen place. So the Rav answered our question before. That's why the Rambam has two different psukim. To build a mikdash for the purpose of karbonos, asuli mikdash. But then there's also a notion of livnos beis habechira. That is what, that's a different pasuk. That's l'shichno sidrush, that's a specific to this place. Now this is besides the question of whether the Kedusha is Kitchel Shaita, Kitchel Zulavo, does the Kedusha still stand or not, even beyond its destruction and other machlokas. But the point of the matter is these, unlike Shiloh and Gilgal and these other places, Nov and Givon and all the other places where the Mishkan was, which have no lasting Kedusha, which by the way, even Har Sinai has no lasting Kedusha. Pasuk Chumash, as soon as HaKadosh Baruch Hu left Har Sinai, let the animals graze on it, right? M'shoch HaYovel, Hemi Aluva Har. Right? Yerushalayim retains Kedusha. Why? Because it's an element of Bechira. That it was a chosen place. There's a unique, a special place besides the fact they built the Mikdash. They're two psukim, and they work in tandem. There's also a Mikdash, to build a Mikdash, but there's also Livnos Beis HaBechira. and it's a different pasuk. Shichno Sidush. Now I printed the whole pasuk. Look in Parshas A, Perikid Beis, pasuk Hey, source 21. Kima Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokeich Michos Yitechem Asum Shmosham L'Shichno Sidushu Vos Hashem. That's the whole pasuk. It starts out with the verb Yivchar. The L'Shichno Sidushu, the Rambam second pasuk, the base Habachira pasuk. That's because Amakom Asher Yivchar Hashem. So now suddenly we see something about Yerushalayim. It's a chosen place. It's Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu selected this place, and therefore it has a different status. Not just as for the Beis Hamikdash, but even beyond. If you take a look in the source number 22, is Psukim in Melachim Aleph Perek Ches, starting Pasuk Yud Beis. This was part of Shlomo HaMelech's tefillah when he dedicated the Beis Hamikdash. Right? Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis Hamikdash, the whole dedication ceremony, right? The whole ceremony. So, Psukim. So it says, he says a tefillah. And if you take a look at it yourself, but take a look at Tes Zion, that's the key pasuk for us in the middle. Min hayom asher otzeisis am Yisrael Mitzrayim, lo bachartei be'ir, mikol shivtei Yisrael bayis lios shisham, den v'evchar b'david lios alam Yisrael. Part of Shlomo's tefillah was that for all the years since Yisrael Mitzrayim until now, lo bachartei be'ir. Shlomo HaMelech makes reference to bachartei be'ir. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen this city. Not just a place, it's a city, it's Yerushalayim. And it mentions also the selection of his father David. The Rabbi uses this to answer another question, because who established the Kedusha of Yerushalayim? You know, there's conflicting sources. Some place it says David, some place it says Shlomo. Okay? So the Rabbi answers, beautiful. It's both. David was in terms of the Bechira, right? Shlomo was the house, the Mikdash. Shlomo built the Mikdash, right? So you can answer that too. But that's what the notion of Bechira. And I just printed certain other psukim. Even later on, when unfortunately the kingdom split, look at 23, Malacham Aleph, Perikid Aleph, Pasigud Gimel. Rakas, Kol Malacha, Loekwa, Shevet Echad, Atein Levincha, Leman David Avdi, Uleman Yerushalayim Asher Bacharti. Kadosh Baruch himself refers to the city of Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim Asher Bacharti. Or the next Pasig, Laman Vav, in that same Perik, right? Ha'ir Asher Bacharti Li Lasum Shemisham. Right, there's a city. Hashem says, "I chose this city." What is Yerushalayim to us? This is the place that Kadosh Baruch Himself chose. I printed from Tehillim, Parakuf, Lamed Beis, Pasuk Yidim, Pasuk. We all know it's in Yichvot. It's in Pesuk Zimra. Ki vochar Hashem b'Tzion, Iva l'Moshavlo. Kadosh Baruch Hu chose Tzion. So, with that in mind, now we have an insight into Yerushalayim that there's something at this place. What is it though about this place? What do we get out of this place? I've demonstrated Yerushalayim, and maybe to answer our original halachic issue, aside from what Rabbi Soloveitchik said, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman said, Yerushalayim, we mourn again, we don't tear kriya because of halachic gedir mekum avel and bal pashtun and all that. But another reason to treat Yerushalayim differently is because it's hamakom asher yivchar Hashem, Hashem himself, this is my chosen place. What is unique about it? So I think there's a beautiful kapitel in Tehillim 26, kapitel kuf chav beis in Tehillim, which summarizes, I think, numerous aspects of Yerushalayim which should give us some insight. Shira Miles of David, Samachti Ba'omim Li Beis Hashem Neleh. So one term here mentioned here is Simcha. Om Dos Hoy Raglem Shereich Yerushalayim Yerushalayim Abnu Kiyisha Chubra Lo Yachdor. A city which binds people together. We're going to explain all this. Shasham Olov Shvatim Shvatim Ka Eidazul Lahodos L'Shem Hashem Lahodos, a place of thanks. We mentioned Simcha. We mentioned people coming together. We mentioned people getting together. Om Dzargam, we see what it means. Lahodus Hashem Hashem. Kishom Yashu Kisos Lamishpat. Kisos Lameis David. Place of justice. Shalom Shalom Yerushalayim. Place of peace. Yishalom Yishalom Echel Shalom Osayach. Laman Achai V'Rayai. Adabon Hashalom Bach. Right? People together. Brothers and friends. Laman Beis Hashem Elokeinu Abayis Hashem. This capital of Tillam, I think, and there's much to say about this. We have limited time. I mean, I have all day, but I know the people here running have limited time. But a number of beautiful themes are hinted at in this capital of Tillam. I think the themes can be summed up to two things. The famous Medrash, Source 27, and Medrash in Bereishis, Rabbah, Parshas, Nunvav, Simon Yud. The first time we see Yerushalayim having any significance, or it wasn't called Yerushalayim then, was when Avraham Avinu offered Yitzchak, the Akedas Yitzchak, took place on that mountain, and it says, Vayikra Avraham Shem HaMakom Ahu Hashem Yireh. That's he named the place Yireh. So the Medrash says, in Source 27, a famous Medrash, Avraham Karo So Yireh Shenem, Vayikra Avraham Shem HaMakom Ahu Hashem Yireh. Avraham nicknamed this place Yireh. Shem was the son of Noach. Shem ben Noach kara oso Sholem. Shenemar u'malki tzedek melech Sholem. Okay, Shem was identified with Malki Tzedek, same person, the king of Sholem. So the place was called Yireh by Avraham, was called Sholem by Noach's son Shem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Imani im korani also Yireh b'shem k'shem k'shem Avraham, Shem Adam Tzadik Misraim. If I'm going to refer to this place as Yireh, like Avraham did, it'll be a patch and ponim, it'll be an insult to Shem. On the other hand, I'm going to call it Shalem, then it'll be an insult to Avram. So what did he do? He fused the two words together. Yireh and Shalem became Yushalayim. People like to say Yushalayim was built on compromise. I take that for whatever it's worth. But it took to Yireh and Shalem. That's from there, says the Midrash, comes the word Yerushalayim. Yireh and Shalem. What's Yireh? What's Shalem? So Yireh here, technically speaking, it's not Yireh of fear, it's seeing. Hashem here, it's talking about Hashem was seen in this place. That's what it meant in the context of the pasuk. Okay? What does seeing mean? Obviously it refers to sight, but it also refers to something else, both in English and in Hebrew. It refers to understanding. Now sometimes it's I see your point. I see what you're saying, right? We say that in English, correct? What do you mean? You're not talking about your vision. You're saying, I understand. Right, I understand. Yireh means seeing the point of view of somebody else, seeing the contribution of somebody else. And if you look back at that kapitel in Tillim, right, what did it say? We said that it's a city, Samachti, a place that we'll leave the Simcha for a moment, but it said Lahodos L'Shem Hashem. It's a place of giving thanks. What does giving thanks mean? Giving thanks means acknowledging somebody else. You know, in Hebrew, the word Hodah means thanks, but it also means something else. Also means, huh? Admission or what?
Acknowledgement.
To admit. It means thanks, also means acknowledgement or admission. Like we say in Halacha, Hodas Baldin. Right? Or Mode Mixas. It means. So the two words related? Yeah. Because you thank because you acknowledge that somebody else did something to you. You have to admit that I couldn't do this myself, someone helped me. I thank. The two are related. The word Modim means thanks. And by the way, just technically, in Hebrew, when you thank, you admit something, you're Mode Sheh. I Mode that. When you thank, it's a moda al. I thank, you know, and it's interesting in modim in the Shemoneh Esrei, you begin by saying modim anachnu lach shata Hashem, right? And even though most siddurim translated as thanks, it probably means acknowledging. Then you say al nisechov, al niflosechov, al, right? So anyway, so what is that's Yira. That's this. It's apparently something about Yerushalayim brings understanding between people. Okay, and. So clearly, I quoted the Gemara. We'll get back to that point. I realize I quoted first the Gemara in Makkos, Avirim and Aleph, on that other pasuk. Om dos hayugalin argan b'sharayat Yerushalayim, mi garm argan shiyam luchama shara Yerushalayim shoskim b'Torah. It's a place of Torah. And that we understand. Yerushalayim is a place of Torah. And it's interesting. There's an unbelievable Tosas, source number 29, Tosas Baba Basra Chaf Aleph and Aleph Kimitzion Teitzei Torah pasuk. We all know the Tosa says, what is it about Yerushalayim? Why was it necessary to go bring Maaser Sheni and other things to eat in Yerushalayim? You know what Tosa says? Because when you go there, you'll be inspired. Because Baruch Hu set it up that he wanted Jews regularly coming to Yerushalayim. You can't all live in Yerushalayim. People have, you know, businesses and to run and other things. But from time to time, you had to come to Yerushalayim. Why? You'll see other people engage in Yerushalayim and also the Torah. You'll be inspired. It's a fascinating comment of Tosa's. Okay? But this notion of Keir Shechubro Lo Yachtov, that's the Gemara in Tainus Daf Hamad Aleph in Source 30. The Gemara talks about Yerushalayim Shalmala and Yerushalayim Shalmata. It's a place which brings people to close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But also, again, Yerushalmi in Baba Kama Perek Zayin Aleph HaZayin in Source 32, it's Ir Shemechaberes Yisrael Zelozeh. Somehow everybody becomes friendly. Everyone in Yerushalayim gets along, hopefully. That's the goal. So what's Yerushalayim? It's a place of Yireh, of seeing, meaning seeing some understanding, huh?
And Shalom.
Right, and of course Shalom, but that leads to the next thing, we'll get to that in a second. But what does it mean, Yireh? So Yireh means seeing, understanding, recognizing the point of view of somebody else, acknowledging the contribution of somebody else. That's one of the things you're supposed to get out of Yerushalayim. And then there's the notion of Shalom. What does Shalom mean? Shalom means completion. It relates to Shalom, but it means completion. Completion as a person. Okay, Shlemus. It started, that kapitel started off, Samachti Ba'omim Li. The greatest simcha is when you feel complete. you've done something, you finished a mesechta, we make a siyum, right? The Daf Yomi is going to finish next week, whenever it is, you know, it's a simcha, right? Or you learn something, it's a simcha. Or you achieve a milestone in your life, Baruch Hashem, you know, a grandchild, it's a simcha, because you've completed something, you've succeeded in something. Right? Yerushalayim is a place of shleimus, and of course Shalom relates to that as well. And the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's so many things that can be subsumed under these two ideas, Yira and Shalom. Yerushalayim is a place of acknowledging not only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but acknowledging other people, and recognizing what other people contribute and so on, and at the same time it's a place to achieve shleimus. It mentions at the end of that kapitel in Tehillim, it says, L'man beis Hashem Elokeinu. What's a bias? A bias, a house, you know, you feel shleimus in your house, right? In your home, this is my home, this is my castle. A person's home is his castle, right? I mean, you know, it could be a small and insignificant, you know, this is my place. I feel shleimus here. This is where I am. I'm in charge here. This is my home, and I've accomplished this, and so on. So that's what Yerushalayim is for everybody. So the bottom line is that I think Yerushalayim is supposed to. I mean, you know, unfortunately that's the problem. We don't have all these things there today, and maybe that's another reason to tear queer. Why was it chosen? Because Baruch Hu chose this place, but as a result of that chosen status of Yerushalayim, it brings a person to the level of Yira. Again, Yira means seeing and understanding, both in terms of relation with other people and with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it brings a person to Shlemus, and it brings people together. And for that reason, I think, and I concluded the sources with a group of psukim, we find Yerushalayim almost becomes synonymous with the Jewish people. It's synonymous with the nation. Okay, so for example, in Shabbos Nachamu's Haftarah, right, the Shabbos after Tishba, source 33, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, Yomar, Elokeichem, right, comfort, be comforted, my people, Ami, my people. And how does it immediately follow? Dabru Alev Yerushalayim, go speak to Yerushalayim. What do you mean? It's not Yerushalayim. It's comforting the Jewish people. The answer is one and the same. Yerushalayim is, in effect, inextricably bound with the Jewish people as a nation. The next pasuk, 34, parak nun beis pasuk test. Pitzchu ranu yachav charvos Yerushalayim, ki nicham Hashem amo gal Yerushalayim. The necham of the nation means redeeming Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is bound up with the Jewish people. That's a simple reading of psukim. Another pasuk, parak samachay. Yud test in Yeshayah 35. V'galti b'Yerushalayim, I'll rejoice in Yerushalayim. V'sasti b'ami, and I'll be with simcha my people, with my nation. Yerushalayim and the nation, it's synonymous. Tzion b'mishpat, the end of this week's Haftarah, at the end of the Haftarah Shabbos Chazon 36. Parak Aleph in Yeshayah pasuk Chav Zayin. Tzion b'mishpat tipadeh, b'shaveh, and the people return b'tzedakah. Tzion and shaveh, Tzion and the people. Or, possibly we know from davening, Perek Nun Tes, Potsachob, Uvol et Tzion Goel, Uloshav Pesh B'Yakov, Tzion and Yaakov. So you have all these psukim, I'm sure there are others. Okay, I mean, you know, these are psukim that I found. I'm sure you can look in a concordance, you can find others. Or computer, no one uses concordance anymore, on a computer, you do a search, you can find more psukim, I'm sure of it. My point is that Yerushalayim becomes the place that represents the Jewish people. There's something about Yerushalayim that touches the soul of the Jew, and I believe it's because of those two themes of Yira and Shalom, from which the city got its name, which are emphasized in that chapter in Tehillim about Yerushalayim. Again, understanding between people, relations with people on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and finally the notion of shleimus, of a person coming to completion. The pasuk says, Perek Samachov, pasuk Yud in Yeshayah, Simchus Yerushalayim v'gilu bo kol ohavel. Right? Again, Simchus Yerushalayim and Gilba Kolo Havel. Sisu Yitam Mosos Kolo Misablim Alea. You should rejoice those who were mourned for it. So the Gemara says in the end of Tainus on Daf Laman Rebbeis 39, Mikan Omru Kolo Misabel Yerushalayim Zochev Rabbi Simchosa. Whoever mourns Yerushalayim will merit seeing the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. It's just interesting, that's a story I like to tell over. My grandfather, Olav Shalom, was a rabbi in a community in upstate New York, and it was not an observant community, and it was one of these places where there was one shul, that kind of thing, but anyway, so it was upstate New York, and I remember, this is years ago, he's gone on many years, but I remember telling me the story that he had a person in his shul who related the following story to him, which I'd like to say over, because it hits the point I just said. It says that, you know, there's a man in his shul who was retiring from his profession. Is now in the, I think it was happening in the late 60s, maybe around 1970. So the person was retiring, and he and his wife had saved up money, and they wanted to go celebrate his retirement by taking a trip together. These are people who had really not much affiliation with anything. They were members of the shul. And he basically said he wants to go to Las Vegas. Right? He's been dreaming of, well, that's where I go, Vegas. A big excitement to him, go stay in a fancy hotel and see the shows, whatever else people do there. His wife said, you know, we're Jewish people, we've never been to Israel. We should go to Israel. He didn't want. He wanted to go to Vegas. But as I guess often happens, the wife's opinion prevailed. And so they went to Israel. Okay. So they came on a tour and they come to Jerusalem. And they go to the Kotel Ravi, of course. And, you know, she goes to the woman's side. He's wandering around the men's side. Again, you know, didn't want to be there altogether. He takes a few pictures. And sure enough, one of the Lubavitcher fellows there, who has the tefillin booth, comes up. They know how to spot people. They're very good. Well-trained. They spot him. And they come and they say, excuse me, sir, did you put on tefillin today? So he said, no, thank you. I'm not interested. You know, so leave me alone, please. Thank you. I gave him a dollar. Leave me alone. So, but again, those who've been there have seen, these people can be very persistent. So he didn't take no for an answer. He kept showing the guy. He said, please leave me alone. I wish you well. Just please leave me alone. Finally, after this exchange goes on, another guy comes over. And maybe they were working in cahoots. I don't know. Another guy comes over and said, listen, I couldn't help but notice the exchange you just had. You know, this fella sits here by this booth all day. It's boiling hot. And he tries to get people to put on tefillin. I accept the fact that you don't want to put on tefillin. Okay, I respect him. You know, it would really make him happy. The guy sits here all day. Do him a favor. All right, the guy, fine. Okay, leave me alone. Good. So, you know, he goes ahead and he puts on the tefillin. And the fellow instructs him how to say the bracha. And after he has the tefillin on, the Lubavitcher fellow says, walk over to the wall, put your hand on the wall and say a short prayer and then come back. Okay, he came this far already, you know. So he walks up to the wall, and this is how he described my grandfather. He said, Rabbi, I put my hands on the wall, wearing the tefillin, and he said, I began to cry like a fountain. Like emotions welled up me, the tears streamed, I don't know where they came from. He said, I suddenly realized that, you know, my grandfather and great-grandfather would have given everything they owned to be able to stand in Jerusalem wearing tefillin by the Western Wall. Okay, it isn't many. He wanted to go to Vegas. He didn't want to come in the first place, right? He said it overtook him, the emotion of the place. Now, you know, if I were telling the story, I would say, and then he came back and he became religious, he became a big Rosh Hashiva. No, it didn't happen. Okay, but the point is, there's something about the power of being in Yerushalayim that touches the heart of the Jew. I think it's because of all these psukim tell us. Somehow Yerushalayim, as the chosen city, as the makom of the Beis HaBechira, again, we discussed from a halachic point of view, the difference between Mikdash and Bechira. Okay, whether we tear Kriya, we don't tear Kriya, but there's something about the power of Yerushalayim that touches the soul, the psyche of the Jew. Yira and Shalim, seeing and connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and achieving a sense of shlemus. And that's why Yerushalayim is permanent, like the Jewish people are permanent. The last thing I quoted, source 40, Yol Perek Dal Pasichov, Yehuda La'olam Teshev, Yerushalayim L'dor V'dor. Yerushalayim will exist L'dor V'dor for every generation, for all time. And therefore, this time of year now that we have Baruch Hashem, we have Yerushalayim in our hands. From a political point of view, and it's wonderful. You know, yesterday was the Levaya, many heard of Rabbi Yashiv Zichron Lebracha, there was a Posek Ador. You know, just half, I don't know what the numbers are, I guess it depends which news agency you look at, but hundreds of thousands of people, you know, Jews streaming in the streets of Yerushalayim. Huh?
Quarter of a million
people in the streets of Yerushalayim, and so we've all been to Yerushalayim, you know, and seen. So Baruch Hashem, we're not there yet in terms of the Gula, obviously. But hopefully these few insights will give us a little bit to think about the specialness of Yerushalayim as the chosen place, the Makom of Yira, Makom of Shlemus, and eventually we'll see the full completion of the Gula and the complete rebuilding of Yerushalayim. Meher v'meinu, have a wonderful day.